listening to the AHTB podcast, practical know-how to help your farm business. I'm Sarah Meesom. Welcome to the second podcast in our series, which focuses purely on how the coronavirus outbreak is affecting the beef and lamb sector. Today, I'm here with AHTB's Retail Insight Manager, Rebecca Gladman, who is going to provide an update on current retail trends and meat category performance in store. I'm also joined by our Senior Consumer Insight Manager, Stephen Evans, who is going to be discussing the effect in which the lockdown has had on our eating habits in the home and the future impact this may have over the coming months. And finally, but certainly not least, I'm joined by Will Jackson, who many of you will know as our Strategy Director for Beef and Lamb. He's going to be talking about some of the work that is going on in the sector to address these consumer challenges, and in particular, our new Steak Night campaign. So Rebecca, what has been the current key changes you have seen in the grocery market, and what is the latest you have on the sales performance on meat products, in particular that of beef and lamb?
So it's key to note that the retail data we have from Kantar runs up until the 22nd of March. So this is the key panic buying stage, and it was pre-lockdown, which was announced on the 23rd of March, and pre-school closures. So as predicted over this time, in the 4 weeks ending the 22nd of March, retail sales saw absolutely massive growth. Total food and drink was up 22% in value terms and 19% in volume terms. And really it was those store cupboard essentials, so frozen products, ambient products, and also cleaning products that were the big winners. And actually canned meat was one of the top categories for sales growth in this time. Looking at beef specifically, beef had the highest year-on-year growth of all the main proteins, with volumes up 35%, and this is significantly more than that market backdrop of 19%. And this was driven by all beef cuts, so everyone bought more of all different primary beef cuts. But it was really mince that had the greatest increase, and this accounted for a third of total beef uplift. And it's seen as highly versatile, and people need products that will do different meals and kind of please everyone in the household. And we know that spag bol is the number one beef dish at home. And in the latter part of March, when stockpiling really started to set in, was when we started to see a shift to mince and away from steaks. So this kind of coupled with the loss of the eating out market, where steaks are popular, is creating this carcass balance issue. And Duncan already in our podcast last week highlighted this issue. So kind of at the moment, people will struggle to trade up when they're in store and kind of making their purchases. So by that I mean, you know, obviously steaks have a higher price point, mince is cheaper to them in a overall outlay. So it's important that the value when compared to what people would spend out of home is highlighted. So kind of saying, well, normally you'd go out for steak maybe on a Tuesday night or a Friday night, actually create that experience in home. And maybe our retailers can support that with selective promotions. So we need to provide clear guidance on how to cook steaks, because people don't want to buy a steak and then end up wasting it. We also need to remember that even those who had disposable income a few weeks ago may not now. So, you know, consumer confidence has really taken a hit and people might not be so able to spend a lot of money. But making sure people cook their steaks and cook them well, we'll cover our latest Steak Night campaign later on. When we look at lamb, unfortunately, it's a different picture to that of beef. So it had the slowest growth out of all the proteins. Volumes were up 12%, which normally would be nothing to be sniffed at. But we know that market backdrop is 19% uplift in volume. So lamb is hindered by its higher price point when compared to the other proteins. And also the fact that people find it harder to cook than the other proteins as well. It's not as easy for them to recreate that out-of-home experience in-home. Roasting joints were still up significantly. So some people may have got their Easter stocks in early, but this would be the minority of shoppers. And obviously Easter falls in the next data period that we'll see and we'll publish on our website. But it's very likely to have been impacted by fewer family gatherings. And what we do know is that in the 2 weeks up to Easter last year, 16% of annual lamb sales were in that period. So really, really reliant in the 2 week run up to Easter. We also know that Ramadan is just around the corner, starting next week, and Eid comes at the end of May. So it's obviously a very important time for the sector. but this time around people won't be able to gather in the same way. So again, this will massively impact the lamb market. So really, our supermarkets need to be stocking smaller, more price-led cuts of lamb. And the presence in store of lamb, so being on maybe gondola ends or really present on the shelf, is still really important, because whilst we have seen reduced footfall to supermarkets, people are still going into supermarkets to make their meat purchases. But we also know butchers are seeing roaring trade at the moment and could help signpost people to British and quality standard lamb. We do know that it's unlikely that lamb volumes lost in the eating out market will be compensated for by grocery retail sales. So the lamb market is vulnerable there, and we need any opportunity to add value to the sector.
Okay, thank you, Rebecca. And Steve, the retail data takes us to late March, but what impact will the continued COVID-19 lockdown have on our eating habits in the home?
So one of the kind of key things that we look at within AHDB's consumer insight team is like the behaviours that go behind some of the numbers. So the kind of key thing to remember when we're looking in a lockdown situation, or indeed like an uplift in in-home meals, is that people don't necessarily eat in the same way as they would have done out of the home, but also that we're going to see this uplift in different parts of the day. So we've looked at some analysis that was done by a Kantar World Panel, and that showed that it's estimated that in a weekly scenario of a lockdown, that there'll be 503 million more in-home meals, and that's a rise of 38%. But actually, the majority of these uplifts are going to come at lunchtime. So they're at the sort of time periods that you would have necessarily gone and eaten out. For the kids at school, or if you're at workplace, you probably would have visited a food service outlet. So they're the kind of dynamics that we're kind of seeing by a day part, but also the changing working circumstances or family dynamics that people find themselves in also means that the meal occasions themselves change. So if you took the breakfast occasion, you might actually have more time as a family to spend eating your breakfast, whereas historically you might have been eating that breakfast on the go. So that might lend itself for a bit more of a treat element at the breakfast, and it might even open up the cooked breakfast scenario, which is probably we might see some of the sort of processed meats such as bacon and sausages doing better in those day parts in the week rather than just on a weekend. But also, when we look at the kind of uplift that we're seeing at lunchtime, the thing to remember is that people are going to be eating things that traditionally they know how to cook and quite simple as well. So in the sense of the biggest uplifts that we're seeing from a meat perspective is around sliced cooked meat. So that's where the kind of uplift in the lunch occasion is benefiting it. But in terms of the dinner occasion, it's important to remember is that people won't necessarily directly replicate the meals that they would have eaten out at the home. And we heard earlier from Rebecca, who talked about the retail sales performance and the fact that mince is doing really well. And that's because it's hitting those kind of versatility points for consumers. There's lots of different dishes that it can kind of be included of. And some of the challenges, certainly for beef and lamb, will be some of the meals that may be more of a treat element or a special occasion, such as steaks, that would have fitted really well with a sort of food service out of home market that might be more of a challenge for the in-home environment. What we're also looking at as well is that it's really important to remember that the behaviours that we see during a shutdown are very unique to the market. And then once measures or restrictions get eased, what will we see going forward? Well, the key challenge that we know going forward is that the ripple effect almost of the coronavirus will be a lot of economic uncertainty. And this will sort of trigger a big dip in consumer confidence. Now, often it's hard to predict what will happen, but you can actually take learnings from what's happened in the past. So, for instance, in 2007, 2008, when we saw the last credit crunch recession hit quite hard, consumers actually saw a spike in in-home meal occasions. So recessionary behaviour started to sneak in, where people actually were taking a very close eye on their household budgets. They were looking at the frequency they ate out of home. And what we know is that with some of the economic uncertainty out there, that the spike in in-home occasions may not be at the intensity it is during a lockdown situation, but it probably will be higher than what we've seen in past years. We also look at, certainly for the meat products, what kind of foods people cook and prepare. Often people go back to their firm favourites in times of uncertainty, but also the important thing to think about is the change in weather and behaviour as well. So if we are sort of seeing periods of sort of nicer weather, we might start seeing some more of the barbecue products doing well in the in-home environment. But I think from our perspective, to try and look at the longer term as well, is to try and understand what kind of behaviours that we are seeing in the post-lockdown will help sort of retailers and certainly processors in the farming industry understand how it can adapt. And it's often those parts of the industry that can adapt and evolve with these changing consumer dynamics that we'll see critical to long-term success in the industry.
Okay, thank you. Will, thank you for joining us. We've heard a little here about what the next few months may hold. What are AHGB doing at the moment to adapt to these changing consumer dynamics?
Hi, Sarah. I can tell you what, it's very, very different from where we would have been in the normal run of things. You know, we've heard an awful lot over this last 12 months about the environment, about the reputation of red meat and where it sits. And we've got a whole plan going forward about how we're going to look at consumer attitudes and all the things that Steve and Rebecca have just run through on the longer term. But what the coronavirus outbreak has meant is that we've had to change tack very quickly. And so at the end of last week, we launched our Steak Night campaign, which was very much based around some of the data that we've had out that is talking about some of the carcass balance issue that we're seeing in the red meat sector at the moment, especially on the beef side of things. And so we've heard a lot of numbers there about eating out occasions that take place. And between April and June, we're probably going to see about 2.5 billion fewer and probably about an additional 500 million meals a week, which will be consumed in home. So we had a bit of a look at what we have and what collateral we had in place as well, because a lot of what's happening at the moment is trying to use what assets you have. So when I talk about assets, I'm talking about previous campaigns. And so we've managed to pull together a really, really compelling offering around Steak Night. And that's trying to encourage people to stay in and make a night of it and cook a very, very nice steak. We're asking people to share it across the industry. So whether that be from farmers through to chefs, and we've made contact with about 35,000 chefs to try and get a real move on social media about it. So we've been looking across social media for people to use the hashtag Steak Night and hashtag Make It Steak with anything that they do. And that should really help engage with consumers and show how they can enjoy a restaurant quality steak from the comfort of their own home. So to support that, we've also got a whole lot of resources online. So that is that from recipes to tutorials to videos, how to cook the perfect steak. Even I had a go at that at the weekend and tried to share my video on Twitter, which raised a few laughs. I'm not sure that I'm probably the best celebrity chef in the world. But on that website, so it's the Simply Beef and Lamb website, which is simplybeefandlamb.co.uk. There are recipes on there for things like steak nachos, like Korean beef dishes, and a bistro steak on a garlic bruschetta. There's all sorts of things on there that have ways that you can use steak in a different way. But I would also say on that website, there are also recipes on there that can help you use other cuts in different ways. And that's right, everything from mince through to steaks. This is something that we're hoping to run through the whole supply chain, and we're having conversations with processors and retailers on an ongoing basis as well. It also fits into kind of an overall communication and consumer strategy that we have. And we'd already got big plans in place with Great British Beef Week, which takes place between the 23rd and the 30th of April. So there should be quite a lot coming out about that over the next few weeks, and that will be very visible in retail and online. And hopefully the Steak Night will dovetail with that really nicely and hopefully drive some more sales through the red meat sector. I think it's also quite key to highlight to people actually what the nutritional value of eating red meat is, because as we all know, it's nutritionally rich protein that's low in salt and provides vitamins and mineral which contribute towards good health. And red meat holds some of those vitamins like vitamin 12, which is typically only found in animal proteins. So it's really, really important, I think, that we get across to consumers actually that eating red meat and having a good healthy balanced diet through this period is going to be really, really key. And this kind of builds on our overall strategy in terms of talking to consumers at the moment. And as we move through the year, we realize that there are going to be challenges around other proteins. So we've talked a bit about beef there, but we know that until we return to normal, there's going to be a challenge on lamb as well. And we see about 15% of lamb that is eaten out of home, and that's going to cause significant pressure on that as the year goes on. So while we've got an immediate hit on beef, lamb is very much in our sight as the year goes on. So hopefully there'll be a lot of exciting things to come.
Thank you. I can't wait to see everyone's photos on social media cooking their steaks.
So I'm expecting one from you then, Sarah, yeah?
Yes. Thank you to all three of you for joining me today. Some really interesting topics, which I hope that everyone listening has found beneficial. We've heard from AHGB's Retail and Consumer Insight team. The analysis covered in today's podcast is also featured on the AHGB website under Retail and Consumer Insight. You can also sign up for the bi-monthly Consumer Insight newsletter to receive regular updates on market trends. We will continue to update the AHGB website and our social media feeds with the latest market information and updates on support available during these challenging times. If anyone has any questions or concerns on how coronavirus is affecting their business, we have an AHGB help desk you can call. The number is 02476019361. There is an email address you can contact, coronavirus.helpdesk@ahgb.org.uk. Or alternatively, you can take a look at the coronavirus page on the AHGB website for business advice and support along with FAQs. There will be more frequent podcasts coming up over the next few weeks, so please keep an eye out for them and don't hesitate to get in touch with your feedback. I'm Sarah Meesom. Thank you for listening.